Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You tune me in this morning either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. Some of you tune me in by the way of Ionia, WIONI 1430 AM, or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. And WION is now heard in the low Ada area, and the call letters there are 100.3 FM. And those of you from the low Ada area, I welcome you to our service this morning. Some of you tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts by the way of the web. Internet radio, those of you who've been listening to internet radio by the way of earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, I welcome you. Those that tune me in by the way of my website is pastorkenharger.com. And then you scroll over to where it says Lighthouse, bring your mouse up over there and over the media, Lighthouse, and a message for the media, and it'll show you current media. Click on that, and it takes you right to the message for today. If you want to hear some past messages, then you can click on past media, and there's about 30, 35 messages just waiting to be heard, okay? Well, that's my stations listening by the folks that's listening by way of station. So as I come to the message time now, I need to say thank you to those that have helped us with the financial costs involved in broadcasting my messages. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And she's from Orleans, Michigan. To Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave. And she's from Greenville, Michigan. And to Marie Brevard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. And she's from Dayton, Tennessee. And a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, and to Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area. I thank you for all of your support so we can keep these broadcasts on the air. Thank you to 4K and Kingsinger for selecting our music for the broadcast. I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. And there's times of the services for the weekend of worship at Shiloh starts Saturday evening at 6:30. Sunday morning is a 9 o'clock service with the older type of music. Contemporary service at 10:45. And our Greenville campus now, which is at the old Calvary Baptist Church at the corner of Grove and LeRae Street. And that Sunday morning service is at 11 o'clock. And to give you an invitation to attend any one of those services that you so desire. Well, we're going to think about the message this morning. I'm going to use some words of Jesus one day when he told his disciples, watch and pray. You know, watch and pray. And we're going to talk about this idea of watching, being alert, and the need of combining it with prayer for our individual lives. And I hope it'll be a source of encouragement to each one of you. So we'll start out the message in just a few moments. But before we do, I want us to listen to a song. And this song is reminding us of God's healing that he's given to our heart. That God has come into our hearts and lives and changed things for us. And so we're just so grateful for that. And this message is, that's the title of it, Healing in My Heart. And as we listen to this, it's just going to help prepare our hearts and minds for the message that I have for you today. So let's listen in. I'll be right back in a few moments and share the Word of God with you. And I'm glad to be able to come to you from the Lighthouse. It's a beautiful evening, not Tuesday evening here at Long Lake. God bless you.
The night was so dark, I felt in my heart my song had come to an end. My spirit was willing, but my body was weak. I thought this is the way it would end. But Jesus came in like a thief in the night. Touched me and I was made whole. My song did not end, it started over again. And I want everybody to know the story about my healing.
My spirit was low. It seemed I died a little each day. My friends tried to help. They tried to cheer me up. But there was nothing for them to say. Then Jesus came like a thief in the night. He touched me and I was made whole. The doctors were stunned. They had nothing to say. But there was something they had to know. I just told them about my healing. Oh, healing. The great physician ministered healing to my soul.
That's a powerful song, is it not? You know, healing for my soul. And God has brought that about for each and every one of us as we trust in Him. That's the times that you and I go through what is called sometimes the valley of the shadow of death, when it's just so discouraging. We feel so defeated. And we've all had those kinds of times in our life. And you know the strange thing about it? It comes at all different periods of our life. Sometimes we've gone through some of those kinds of things when we were young. But the older we get, we realize we go through some of those things when we're old. And it's very difficult. And I think the best thing to do when we think about these thoughts that we're going to talk about this morning is to heed the word of Jesus when He said, watch and pray. Be alert about what's happening around you. And come to God in prayer. That's what I want to do right now, is have a word of prayer with you. I want to pray for the listening audience. I enjoy that each morning that I'm on the broadcast time here with you, to remember the listening audience. You're the people I want to share with. You're my audience. And I enjoy that so much. And so I'm not thinking about other people. I'm thinking about those that's tuned us in our radio broadcast this morning. And I want to remember you in a very special way. It's kind of like my morning prayer this morning for my listening audience. Dear Father, we come to you again. And we come in behalf of each person that's got their radio playing or listening by the way of the website. I ask, our Father, that you would meet each need of each person according to you, individual well. Father, you're the God of the individual. You kept reminding them in the Old Testament day that you're the God of Jacob and Isaac and so on. And Father, you're our God. And sometimes we go through some very difficult times, some very scary times, some very depressing times. And yet you're able to come in and touch our hearts and help us. This morning we're going to be thinking about watching and praying. Would you help us to learn what it means to be alert at whatever age we might be? Can you help us, Father, to understand why men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to get discouraged, that you will hear us and we need to continue to seek your face? I love it when you remind us in your word that your ear is always open unto our cry. Bless the listening audience this morning. Take this message and encourage those who need encouragement. Comfort those who need comfort. Strengthen those who are feeling tremendously weak or disappointed. Whatever the need is this morning, dear Father, would you meet that need according to your will? And I'll thank you and praise you for it. Boy, what a beautiful evening we have here at the Lighthouse tonight on this Tuesday evening. Got some fishermen. Man, it feels so good to see some fishermen. We had a warmer day today, and that felt really good to me. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for warm weather. Well, we got some fishermen just a moment ago. We had a couple pontoons that went by out for an evening ride to enjoy the beautiful sun and the warmth that is giving as the lake is beginning to get ready for the evening time. I got three men in a boat just coming right up there, about 30 feet from me right now, right out front. And so we'll just let them catch some fish and we'll go on with our message, okay? Well, let's consider something that we need to do. I want to go back to the Old Testament, and I want to pick up a thing that they did in all the cities. You know, those cities were built on high hills generally, and they were built with a big wall all the way around them. And then they had what was called the watchman. And the watchman was supposed to be there and keep watch of what was happening. And I just want to take that thought from the watchman and take and couple it with the words of Jesus when he told his disciples, watch and pray, watch and pray. You know, there's sometimes when I was working in Mitchell Bentley in Ionia, we had a night watchman that walked around and checked out everything, you know, so on. You know, in the biblical times when I was talking about, many times those watchmen were in the daytime keeping watch of things. I'm sure they had watchmen at night as well. But, you know, a watchman at night even has to be more vigilant than a daytime guard or watchman. In the daytime, danger can be often spotted from a distance. But in the night and the evening, everything is different. A night watchman must use so many senses that it takes more obvious insight to detect danger. I want to come back to this Old Testament time in the days of Ezekiel and listen to what God set up for the watchman. Again, he says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 33, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, the Israelites, and say to them, when I bring the sword up on the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming up on the land, if he sees some danger, he has to blow a trumpet and warn the people. Then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But listen to this now. But he who takes the warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming, and he does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, the sword comes up on that, takes and pay other people's lives, then it says the guardsman or the watchman that's up on his head, he's responsible because he didn't sound the warning that things were coming down and he needed to do that. I think that's kind of a good background foundation, so to speak, for our message this morning. I believe there's times in God's Word when He shows us that we just can't sit back and say, well, God will take care of everything. God's promised He'll take care of everything. I think there comes times when He's saying to you and I, we need to be alert. We need to be watching to make sure that we're setting ourselves as safely as possible. I remember one time reading in the story of Nehemiah when he was trying to rebuild the city walls. The work was going pretty good. There were some people in the city of Jerusalem around that area. They didn't like it that the work was going so well. And so they decided they'd bring some opposition to Nehemiah and all the workers. And I like what it says in the book of Nehemiah, 4th chapter, 9th verse. Nevertheless, he said, we made our prayer to God. We prayed for God's protection and guidance. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. He went on to say another portion of scripture that we worked with the tools we were using with one hand and had a sword in the other hand. They were watching and ready and alert to what might happen. I think we need to understand that. That's what I want to get across in the message this week, is watch, therefore, and pray. Watch and pray. You know, in Florida and other places as well, there's one up to Stanton. There was that big, on that big high hill, there's one of those watchtowers, so to speak. I was out past the prison in Ionia, and I noticed there's a watchtower there where they have people in there to keep watch if somebody's trying to escape. That's to keep them in. But God is saying to you and I want you to be alert. I want you to be alert because things can happen so quickly. And along with that alertness, I want you to pray for God's blessing, to watch and pray. You know, this came about when Jesus was headed to the Garden of Gethsemane. He was getting ready to surrender His life for salvation. He was getting ready to pay the price for my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world if they will trust in Him. And as Jesus was heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, He took His disciples with Him. And when He got to the Garden of Gethsemane, He said to some of the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray. Just stay right here and wait for me a little bit, will you?" And taking with Him Peter and James and John, He began to be sorrowful. And His heart was really troubled. Then He said to these three close disciples of His, Peter, James, and John, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. I'm just so drained. Remain here and watch with me." He's asking those three disciples that He had such confidence, "Stay here and watch with me." He said, "I'm going to go a little further, and I'm going to have a prayer." And He walked away from a little ways, and He fell down on His face, and He prayed, saying, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." I want you to think of that Garden of Gethsemane as a time in Jesus' life when He was faced with one of the toughest times of His entire life. He said it very clearly when He said, "My soul is very sorrowful. I feel like death is just around the corner." It was a very tough, difficult time in His life. And He was going through that, and He wanted somebody to be there with Him. Now, He knew He was going to surrender to the will of the Father and that He was going to die. He knew that was the purpose He came. He came to die for our sins. We must learn that sometimes there's some Garden of Gethsemane in our life. We need to do the two things that Jesus did that I think will help us. The first thing I think He did was a very, very good thing to do. You know, when you're going through a tough time, the time is tough enough on its own without you going through it all by yourself. So Jesus, what He did, he got three disciples, Peter, James, and John. They had been with him many different times. He shares with them, I'm going through a tough time, guys. I need you to watch with me. That's all he's asking. Just stay here and stay alert for me, would you? What he wanted his people who cared for him, he wanted them to just be concerned for what he was going through. But I also liked the second thing that he did. He went just a little further beyond them. And he fell on his face and he prayed. I think Jesus was determined to do the Father's will. But he needed to surrender to that. And you notice the little term that was used there that I think is so necessary in our lives from time to time. And that is that we just got to go a little further. We just got to take another step. You know what I've watched through the years in my Christian experience? I've watched men and women that are about to have victory over something in their lives, and they quit just about the time they was going to have victory. If they just would have went a little longer. You know what Jesus is saying? He said, I'm really discouraged. He's really almost frustrated. But he says, I'm going to go a little further, right over there, and I'm going to pray. Sometimes, folks, that's all you can do. Just go a little further and then pray and ask God to help you. When Jesus came back to his disciples, those three men that he had asked to watch with him, he found them asleep. They were sound asleep. Jesus had just shared with them how discouraged he was, how much agony he was in, and how he was going to go through something that was very difficult. He just asked them to watch with me for a little while. And God wants us to realize that sometimes we may have somebody who's a caregiver for us, and we're going through a tough time, and maybe we've asked them to watch with us, and they didn't seem to want to get involved. That's where Jesus is at in his ministry. But we must do what Jesus did. He didn't quit there. He asked them very clearly, couldn't you watch with me for just a little while? I needed to have you watch with me. I needed to have you understand that I needed your support. So then Jesus says this to them. He says to the disciples, he came to his disciples and he found them asleep, and he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Now listen to what he's going to add. He told them, you watch with me. He said, I'm going a little further and I'm going to have prayer. But now when he's come back and he's found them asleep, he said, would you watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation? He gave us one of the most beautiful things as a result of that we need to hear. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Did you hear that? The spirit indeed is willing. How many times has that spirit inside of you been so willing, but the flesh is weak? Jesus now added a little more to his request for the disciples, not only to watch, but to pray. He gives them the reason he's asking their request is because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is very weak. I believe his disciples were willing to do what was right. In fact, just a short period of time before this Gethsemane experience, Peter had just declared that he would die before he had denied the Lord. He would never disown the Lord. And all the other disciples said the same thing. But right now, they're not able to stay awake for a little while in this tough time that he's going through. You know what, folks? That's the way it is sometimes. Jesus is saying the Spirit's willing. So watch with me. I believe Jesus knew his disciples wanted to watch with him, but the weakness of their flesh had overpowered them. Their spiritual desire to watch with Jesus, and because the flesh was so weak, they fell asleep. They didn't watch with him. And I love it that Jesus didn't really get after him too much, but he said, I'm going to add something to it. I want you to not only watch with me, I want you to pray. Because listen, you need to watch over your lives, and you need to pray. Because you just had it illustrated to you that your flesh is weak. The Spirit's willing, but you fell asleep. That means the flesh is weak. I love that God's word shared in the book of 1 Corinthians for you and I when we think about temptation. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. God's saying whatever you're going to go through in your life, others have gone through it before. And here's one that I want you to know about this, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And in the temptation, he'll provide a way out so you can endure it. I like one translation that says, in the temptation, he will provide a way of escape. Escape. To be able to have victory over it. I think one of the things it's going to take, though, it's going to take you and I going a little further. It's going to take you and I recognizing that God does so many things in our lives, and sometimes we don't give him the credit for it. Go listen to a song now, and you've heard this song before, and it's a story song. It's reminding us to be careful when you shut people out of your life. That's what the disciples had done. This song is saying to us, it might be Jesus. You might be doing just like the disciples did. You might be falling asleep on Jesus. We need to know that's something we don't want to do.
One was standing on the
corner. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
With a tin cup in his hand. One was walking down the highway all alone. One was asking for my time when I had no more time to give. One was looking for a handout or a loan.
One came into our church with dirty hair and filthy clothes, tracking mud across our Christian floor. One was preaching on the sidewalk where no one stopped to hear, and two came and knocked on my front door. It might be Jesus. It might be Jesus. Slowly frozen out of our little group of friends. Fanatic was the word I think we used. Finding fault with one another is what we do best, and for this I fear we stand accused.
Sometimes even I, so freely bent to sin, in spite of myself I will come through. Make no mistake, I know from whence it comes. Something down inside tells me what to do.
It might be Jesus. It might be Jesus.
Someone
you turned your back on.
it might be Jesus, and we turned our back upon him. You know how difficult that was for those disciples at that day when they had fallen asleep. I just want to finish that story because I wanted to bring it up to our day and age. But I want to finish the idea that Jesus went back a little further again and he prayed. And remember, he asked the disciples to watch with him and to pray. And the three of them could have done that so easily. But he prayed, "Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, let it pass. I don't want to do this. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Now, I don't know how long he was gone. Maybe he sat there for a long time. Maybe he said those words many times. But he got up and he walked back to the disciples. And there they were asleep again. He didn't even wake them this time. He just walked back to where he was, a little further than where they were. And he prayed again. The same prayer. "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And there he surrendered to God's will. You may say to me, "Pastor, how do you know he surrendered to God's will?" He got up from his time of prayer. He walked back to the disciples. And guess what? They were sleeping again. They were really tired. Their flesh was really weak. But the spirit of Jesus was really welling. I know that because this is what he said to the disciples. "Disciples, wake up, guys. The enemy's coming. And we've got to go meet him. They're coming to get me. And I want to walk towards them." That's exactly what he did. You know, folks, that's because he went a little further. And he surrendered to the Father's will. And you know something, the idea that he tried to teach the disciples is still needed today. I need it today. You need it today. Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. Because the spirit is welling, but the flesh, the body, is so weak. And you will surrender. You know, I don't believe in all the days that I've lived, I don't believe I've ever heard so much of all the different kinds of scams that go on today, where people take advantage of other people. And almost every night on the TV, you can hear where somebody's taking advantage of an older person. Just a couple nights ago, some younger person walked into a nursing home, scared the woman who was up in her years, way up in the 90s. And when he left, he had taken her checkbook and her billfold. Who would take advantage of one person like that and take advantage within the nursing home? Almost every day you hear about somebody who some scammer has taken advantage of and swindled them out of some money, some older person. Well, God wants us to know that's the way it is. So one day when Jesus was teaching the disciples, he says, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches are already become tender and put forth leaves." You see those little leaves on there? You know summer is near. You know summer is near. I like that because before I came over here, I was underneath my maple trees and they got some little leaves. The maple tree drops a thing that I wish it didn't drop, but it drops something first and then there's the little leaf. I was out underneath my apple trees. It's in my backyard. They they got pink little blossoms pretty soon. He says, when you see those things, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the door. Assuredly, I say unto you, this generation will not pass before away until these things take place. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of the Lord will never pass away. But of that hour of the second coming of Jesus, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven don't know. Nor does the Son know, but only the Father. He's telling us, this Jesus is going to come back again. We don't know when he's going to come. So this is what he says we have to do. And this is to you and I in 2019. Take heed. Take heed. Watch and pray. You know what he's saying? Stay alert. Stay alert. Watch. Keep your eyes open. Pray to God. For you do not know when the time is. It's like a man going on a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to each of them, to do the work that he commanded them, to the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. He might come in the evening. He might come at midnight. He might come when the crow is roosting, cocking out in the telling you to wake up in the morning. Lest he come suddenly and he find you asleep, sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, to everybody. I think he's saying, I say this to every generation. Watch. Watch. I've always been so glad that our Heavenly Father has kept some things about the future from us children. Like I know that when I was born, I believe with all my heart I was born with an expiration date. But I've shared many times, I'm so glad the Father didn't stamp it on my forehead. That every morning when I get ready to shave, I look into the mirror, I can see the expiration date and how far it is. No, it's going to happen, but we don't know when. I feel the same way about the truth of one of these days, Jesus is going to return. I don't know when it's going to be. And I love that he says, the hour no one knows. Not even the angels know, not even Jesus knows. But only the Father. You know what he's asking us to do in view of that? He's asking us to watch. And I think he's saying wait. Because you don't know when he will return. And we don't want to be found asleep when he returns. Remember when we were younger? We played a game called hide and seek. Do you remember that game? I love that game. We like to play a lot of times in the evening. Hide and seek. And you had to count 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And you'd count. And then pretty soon when you finished counting, you would always say this. Coming, ready or not, here I come. That's the same principle for the return of the Lord Jesus. One of the days he's coming. But he's going to say, ready or not, here I come. But in the meantime, he's saying to you and I, keep alert, keep watching. For the time you think not, that's when he's going to come. I love one of the songs, and we're not going to listen to this song, but I love one of the statements in one of the songs that says, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. The main thing is we need to be ready. And he said the best way you can be ready is to be watching and to praying. And that's what he wants us to do, to watch and to pray. You know, God said the same thing to the church. I believe it's needed today. In the book of Ephesians, God was writing to the church of Ephesus. And he's saying to the church, listen, you've kind of dozed off a little bit. You need to wake up. You've gone off on your spiritual journey. You're not fulfilling your mission. This is why he said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I love that. He's saying it's time for you to wake up. Rise from the dead. And then he goes on to explain how we can show that we're awake. He says, be very careful. That's the alertness. Then how you live. Don't live as an unwise, but rather live like wise, making the most of every opportunity. Because we're living in evil days. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not always be getting drunk. Instead, he said, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what's going to show that you're alive. You know, when a person is sleeping, it actually appears as though the person is dead. When our children was little, very, very young, and they were sleeping in the crib, they'd be just laying there. And you know, every now and then, as a young parent, a new parent, we would just kind of nudge them a little bit to make sure they were still alive. They would look so much like they were dead. The challenge to the church in Ephesians was to wake up. Wake up from the dead. Your appearance is though Christ hasn't shined on you and he wants to shine on you. You'll be able to show others that you're alive when you live the way you should live spiritually. Be very careful, he said, how you live. And live as a wise person, not as a foolish person. You know what? This is repeated again later on in the book of Romans. I say this because we live in an important time. Yes, it is now time for you to wake up from your sleep. Our salvation is nearer down than it was when we first believed. The night is almost finished. The day is almost here. So we should stop doing things that belong to darkness and take up our weapons used for the fighting in the light. Let us live the right way, like people who belong to the day. We should not have wild parties and those kinds of things. But instead, he says, we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus, forgetting about satisfying our own sinful flesh. He's saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. My daily devotions, I found a rooster with one of those big speaking things you can speak into and expand your voice. And that rooster was saying, wake up. Wake up. No, that's what God was saying to the church of Ephesians. They were to wake up. I don't have long to say the next thing that I want to share with you, but I think this is so important. We're going to listen to a song that's got a pretty long lead on it, so I'll start it when it's time, and I'll probably talk as the lead is going along. It's some nice music, but I want us to remind ourselves of something, folks. Every now and then, we need to have some times when we can get quiet with God. And we need to look at the things that's filling our minds and our hearts. You know what God says to us in the book of Proverbs? Guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from your heart. Guard your heart. And in the book of Philippians, he says, never worry about anything. But in every situation, let God know what your needs are in prayer. Make requests to him and give him some thanks. The God of peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine. Notice what it said? It said, it'll guard. It'll guard, he says, your thoughts and your emotions. We need to know that God wants to remind us that he's got something very special for each one of us. And that specialness that he's got for each one of us is the realization that God has done so many good things for us. And he wants us to realize that this blessing of his life upon us is to help us and encourage us to do what we need to do in order to bring honor and bring glory to him. You know what he's saying? I want you to think about your thought life. You got to guard your thought life. You got to guard what is important for you as an individual. Out of your heart's going to come these things. I've worked different times with people who are in AA, and I picked up a long time ago a phrase that AA uses that I really appreciate. And the phrase is simply this. When they're thinking about going off in the wagon, they just say that stinking thinking. Have you ever noticed that stinking thinking gets you into trouble? You know what God is saying today as we wrap up our time together? He's saying, I want you to guard what you think. I want you to guard your thought life. Your thought life can get you into trouble. So I want you to guard your thought life. And I want you to do it. And that word guard, you know what it's really like? It's like the watchman that we've been talking about. But sometimes it's even more than like a watchman. Sometimes that word is used like an umpire. You know, an umpire is a watchman. And sometimes that word is used like an umpire that's umping a game. And he's saying, you know what? Let this peace of God be the umpire in your heart and mind. And then he gives us some things in Philippians chapter 4. And I don't know about you, where you're coming from in your own individualized, dear people. But I love the way the Apostle Paul put this when he said, finally, brethren. It's like saying, the last thing I want to tell you about this idea of guarding your life, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things there's a virtue about them, if there is anything praiseworthy, listen to this now. Meditate upon these things. Jesus is saying, I want you to watch and I want you to pray. I want you to watch and pray. Got to say it again, because the spirit is willing, but that flesh is so weak and it needs some strengthening. And I want you to let the umpire of your mind be the things that you think about. The things that you think about that can help you build your life. You know, if you're always around something negative, you're going to produce negative. And it doesn't mean we can always be positive. But God is saying to us, I want you to get some things that's in your mind. Why is it easier to believe a lie than the truth? So whatsoever things are true, why do we want to see things destroy people's lives? Why do we want to see all the injustice that we see today? No, God is saying, focus your mind on what is true. Focus your mind on what is special. Because that's going to help you in this journey that you're going to travel on. It's going to help you within your life. Now, remember when we began? We were talking about Jesus in such a discouraging time in his life. I'm going to play a song in just a few moments. And then I'm going to give you some promises that God gives us in his word. And because there's a lot of older people who listen to my program, I want to give you some of the words of Jesus that he gave as words of comfort, and he gave as words of encouragement. And then we listen to this song and we allow God to help us to slip away in our thinking, to slip away in our thinking in such a way that we can let God take a hold of our lives. What I'm thinking about for this is a psalm that says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's what we need every now and then, is a quiet time. I love the words of Jesus when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This is what we need to do. Slip away. God bless you.
With the lover of your soul, slip away so you can hear my voice again. Say, "I love you." Slip away, my child, with the lover of your soul, so I can whisper in your ear and hold you close to me so near. Slip away, my child, slip away, slip away.